So as we take a look at the Monday morning agenda, we've got confusing economic trends. We're looking for a serious arrow in a single direction. The Eurozone took some steps last week, serious steps. Markets have been responding through the weekend and this morning, even if Europe may slip into recession. Meanwhile, it's a slightly upbeat set of numbers here in the U.S. on jobs, prices, and tentative growth. Could there be a corner being turned here? And would any of it change the themes of the political campaign? Joining us now, Maggie Haberman, senior political writer for Politico. Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning.
And Charlie Herman is economics editor for The Takeaway in WNYC. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
So let's take the political question first. Do they have all of their themes down, these candidates, or can any of these numbers be game changers for the GOP? Obama certainly was taking credit for them on 60 Minutes last night.
That's right. I mean, I think they certainly could be game changers. I think it really depends. Look, I think the basic premise of this election is that if the economy is continuing to seem like it is trending in a bad direction, it is bad for President Obama. If the economy is trending in a better direction, that is good for President Obama. I think that, you know, President Obama is going to try to make this election as much not about his record and about the economy as possible, because the general premise is the economy is not going to be that much better by the time the general election rolls around. I don't think you're going to see much variation on what the GOP candidates say about it.
But if the trend lines stabilize or turn up, it at least takes a little bit of passion out of their argument. Is there any sense there would be a turning of the corner, Charlie Herman?
Well, I mean, what we're seeing right now are some trends in the U.S. that the economy is at least stabilizing, maybe not like shooting up. We see unemployment coming down. Later this week, we'll get some inflation figures, which seem to indicate that inflation is moderating, and we'll also have retail sales figures, which...
And Fed governors are meeting.
I mean, there's just a lot of stuff this week that gives a sense that we're sort of holding the course, not necessarily accelerating, but at least not decelerating. Of course, the biggest worry, and we've said this every week, is Europe. And really, I think it's interesting that the presidential election in some aspect could be determined on what happens in Europe, because if that union sort of begins to dissolve next year... And it has repercussions here in the U.S. I mean, look at Lehman. It collapsed over 3 years ago, and they're still cleaning it up. They're still dealing with the bankruptcy from that firm. That could have the repercussions here in the U.S. In terms of unemployment, in terms of growth, and then that could affect who becomes the next president.
Although if you observed the Saturday night debate of the presidential candidates, Maggie, it seemed to me that Europe was still outside of the galaxy at this point.
Absolutely. I think I think until people are interpreting the events as directly impacting the U.S., and they just don't at the moment, I don't think you're going to see the lines changing. I don't think you're going to see the discussion from the candidates changing. I think your point that it could have a direct impact in terms of how things are perceived, I think, is the biggest issue here. Remember, people have had a sense that the economy has been bad for so long that even though you are seeing trend lines stabilizing, I don't think that's caught up with people's perceptions of how things are, and I think that's going to be very determinative next year.
And that thick crust of cynicism, I think, is part of what's making it very difficult for lawmakers in Washington to get behind this payroll tax cut bill that also includes unemployment benefits. Listen to Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York.
We're beginning to see that some of our Republican colleagues are saying there ought to be a payroll tax extension, and there should be, because it's a bipartisan idea. It's been supported by Democrats and Republicans in the past.
So, first of all, Charlie, I heard some reporting on National Public Radio over the weekend where they were asking people if they even noticed this payroll tax cut. And a lot of people said no. It was not cash that they particularly noticed.
Well, and that's part of the impetus behind it, that if it's only a couple hundred dollars a month that you are getting in your paycheck, or maybe $50, $80, it's not a huge amount, so you go ahead and spend that and you put that back into the economy. You know, if you give people a big lump sum payment of here's $1,000 in January, people might save that. They might not actually go out and spend it. So that's sort of the idea behind it, is to have it not so noticeable. You know, what I was going to say that stood out to me is that the Republicans, you know, when it comes to this act, for example, when it comes to what we saw in the debate, they have this real fine balancing act of trying to basically say the economy is doing bad, you know, to sort of talk down the economy because that works in their favor. At the same time, you know, you want to try and build confidence. You want to try and build that the economy is going. You want to pass bills like this that get people more money in their pockets so they can spend. But you have this fine line of, you know, it works to your favor if people don't have as much money, if the economy is not growing as much.
That's Charlie Herman. Maggie Haberman, there's a little bit of a logic problem here. I hesitate to put it at your doorstep here. But if, as Charlie says, the payroll tax cut isn't that significant, why would it be a problem for Republicans? And since it is actually giving people money, why would it be a problem for Democrats in any sense? Why isn't this already passed?
because, well, a couple of things. Number one, the partisan gridlock is, I think, as we know, at a pretty all-time high. So that's one main reason. The other reason, though, and we have talked about this before on this show, is that, or, you know, something close to it, Republicans are being very dominated by a Tea Party message, and they are being very dominated by nothing that is perceptibly as raising taxes, regardless of how big or how small, or the fact that it may not really be what it seems. There is a real reluctance to have anything that could be delivered in a political season as a raised tax, or as Republicans also compromising on a Democrat's agenda.
And, you know, the details, which are tangible unemployment benefits for Americans and tax cuts, payroll tax cuts that need to be extended for actual American consumers, it feels really sort of arcane and obscure and almost wonky in this environment of gridlock that you described, Maggie. And then there's this attempt by lawmakers to tie the oil pipeline running from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico into all of this. Can you describe that project? Is it energy policy? Is it stimulus? Is it something about oil prices? What do you think?
It's all of the above. It is certainly described by some as stimulus. It is definitely energy policy in terms of other. Part of the problem is that any time that you have any kind of attack on, especially on a bill that is this controversial, you're not going to see it go through very easily. And I think that the point made earlier here that the Republicans are walking something of a fine line between, looking like they are being obstructionist slash making a major deal of this. You know, Michelle Bachmann, who, of course, has been making a major push for Tea Party votes, was the one who took the hardest line on this. She's also, you know, one of the few on stage in Congress who casts a vote, but her vote is not going to be determinative one way or the other. I think that, I predicted on this show a couple of weeks ago that I actually didn't think it would pass. I'm still not 100% it's going to pass.
All right. So in the last minute before we go, Gingrich looks solid, and Mitt Romney may, in terms of the fact checking, have won his $10,000 bet, but he may have lost the war. Charlie Herman, what do you think?
Yeah, the $10,000 bet, you know, just the optics of it probably don't come off that well. I mean, that's the salary for many people, as many of the people on the debate jumped in and pointed out. And, you know, this is it probably was not the smartest bet that Romney could have made.
Maggie Haberman, Newt Gingrich, a juggernaut.
I think he's very, very hard to stop right now. He's got momentum. Mitt Romney does not have momentum. He has the $10,000 bet thing was really problematic for him, and he did very little to turn it around yesterday. So I think he could be stopped, but it's hard to see right now.
Maggie Haberman, senior political writer for Politico, and Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC. There's your agenda. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.